So going further in conditions on base and base. So the Gemara says like this: Tanya was Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said that biyado. If it's biyado, then it's not considered lo balala. Okay. So we have a brisa which is in line with Rabbi Yochanan. Ain tormin min hatala shalom mechubar. You can't take chuma from some detached for attached. V'im tarim ain chuma to chuma. It doesn't work. Ketzad, Omer Perisurigazu Tulashim, Yetrum Perisurigazu Mechubarim, Perisurigazu Mechubarim, Yetrum Perisurigazu Tulashim, Lo, Omer Klum, so it doesn't work, it's nothing. Okay? Aval Omer Lichesh Yitlosh, but if you say that I'm taking off Chuma now and the Chalos will be when they become detached, Vinitlashu, and then they become detached, Varav Kayamin, then it works. So you can't just, if you do Maisaf Rasha to be Chal now, that doesn't work because it's not Shayach. But if you do it now and the Chalos is awaiting realization, then you could do it. You could set it up like that. Okay? So fine. So you see that if it's biyado, then it works. Because right, that's the case. It's biyado. Okay? So it's a braisa. It's open braisa. So you have a braisa which supports Rabbi Yochanan. So braisa is a tana. Yochanan's on Amara. So it's good. Yes, sir, Alkain. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Okay, now more than that. It's still the braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, okay, further, goes further than this. And this is what the rest of the we're going to be discussing, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Filu Omar Peros Arugazu Tulushim, Yachum al Peros Arugazu Mechubaras, Peros Arugazu Tulushim, Peros Arugazu Mechubaras, Yachum al Peros Arugazu Tulushim, Licheshi Yavau Viyu Shlesh, Viyat Lashu, Viyu Shlesh, Viyat Lashu, Dvarv Kayam. So not only if they're just attached, does it work because it's biyado? But even if they're not yet a third, and you're saying is that I'm doing the maisa now, they'll be chal once they bring a shlesh, become a third, and become detached, it works. Right? That's a bigger chiddush, because that's first of all not biyado, and it's not even a barachi right now. It's not even shetavua. It's not yet ripened. Right? So that's already a big move. Well, that's what he says. Right, Rashi says, yes, sir, Alkain. Afilu mashein biyada. Even though the kesever adam makdish umasan davashalalom, or makdish davashalalom, because you could do it, even though it's lovalalom, doesn't matter. So you hold it, you can do it, but lovalalom. Okay, look, she have a shlish. She had lying low of you shlish, we ain't be able to lit low shalafra. She can't do it now. The tvua shalow of you shlish, love tvua. Because it's not, if it hasn't brought a shlish, it's not even tvua. The governor of Rosh Hashanah, maybe also says a tvua. L'shalosh. I'll take it l'shalosh el l'shlesh. It's a limud, but it becomes tvua when it's shlesh. So it's not even tvua yet. It's a limud. It's not even tvua yet. Yet you could do it. So it must be, it doesn't matter, even though it's l'balolam. Okay? So now you have a machlokes amoraim, what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov means. Okay, where does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, serious? Does he really mean it all out? That's it? L'balolam is totally not a problem? So that's going to be a machlokes. So Amar Rabba, lo Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ela b'shachas, ava b'agam lo. Okay. So shachas, Rashi explains. He says, I'm not sure the exact word means, but sha'afal pishal misbashal agarinim. It's a kind of a thing that even though they're not ripened, the shlesh, o afilu adayin lo livluvu achitim, or they haven't yet, I'm not sure what that means either, but they haven't, like, some sort of sprouting or whatever. Shachas mi'ahave. It's still this part of this crop. The ro'i liktar, and it's capable of the cutting off. The ro'i is appropriate to cut off. Ve'lahach ilabehema, and to feed it to your animal. The midi de minkar, the choshevu. So even though it's not yet a third, it's still a midi de minkar. It, like, has a certain appearance of the part of this crop, and it's choshev, even though it's less than a third. So by that type of an item, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, is even though it's not a shlesh, and technically the halacha is shlesh, right? He's not saying there's no halacha of shlesh here, there is a halacha of shlesh, but since it's already roi and chashav and minkar, and it's roi lacha lebehema, so therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is, don't worry about it, you could do it, even though it's lobal olam, yet you could still do it. Okay, only there. Aval be'agam, she'ena elat smachim rachim, that they're only like small, like soft sprouts or whatever, then it doesn't work. And we'll come on first, my lashon agam. Okay, whatever. Lo, the key under lo chashiv, because since it's not chashiv, lo chayel aleha shem chumal mafraya. So therefore, it doesn't work. The Shem Shuma can't be Chal, I'm afraid. Okay, the Maisa can't work for the to create
that
the
implies the other way is working on Mefra.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess he's saying implying that this whole thing is working on Mefra. I don't know why he's saying that. No, we're not exactly in that way, because I could be Mefra. Mefra wasn't, it wasn't even Tzvua.
Right.
I'm not sure if it means the Chashem is Chal Mefra or it's the Maisa which was done will work for it, like retroactively. Like the Maisa doesn't do anything now, but it does something.
It sounded
it's
like
it's
like
validated Lamafraya.
I thought you were talking about the
Maisa,
not the Shem. Right?
Well, you know, Hashem through Lamafraya. I'm not sure. Perhaps he means that.
The Shem Shumo is the Maisa, not the identity of the Pri.
Well, the Maisa works, it's validated Lamafraya, but the identity. Question: is he saying the identity of Lamafraya? Like Lamafraya, that was Truma.
Right.
What was Truma? That's hard to understand what he means altogether. I mean, it wasn't Tua yet. So I don't know. I'm not sure.
What does he say?
He says if it's Agam, then it's not even Chashev. So since it's not Chashev, the Truma can't be Chalam. But if it's a Shacha, so it's already ripened. It's already Chashev to a certain extent, even though it's not yet a third. So then at Minker and Chashev, so then it will work. You can do this track. Then it wasn't Yaakov saying you could do this track. But it doesn't work if it's something which is not chashev. Okay? So that's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's chiddush though. That by if it's already like a chashev a thing, you can do it even though it's not a third. Whereas opposed to the chachamim are not going to hold by that. And they're going to hold a third as a third and no sands or bots. That's it. It's not a third, it's not a third. It doesn't work. Right? But it's limited. It's not just saying he holds you could do love al olam altogether. He just, I mean, you could do it here, love al olam, but not across the board. Right, and then that's the way Rabba, I think, right? Rabba learns it was when Yaakov. But Rav Yosef Amar Afil Ba'agam, he says no, it even works by Agam. No, it even works by Agam. Okay, even works by Agam. So that's what he said. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's holding, even though it's Agam and it's basically an undeveloped fruit, totally undeveloped, still it works. Still works, even though it's a little long. So it's interesting. Let's take a little further. So just let me ask you a question. According to this, what would you say if the thing mamish didn't even exist? Like you notice here, it's talking about where it's not yet tvua, right? It's not yet a third. But like, let's say I want to do it on something that really doesn't even exist altogether.
According to
let's say Rav Yosef. It's not going to work, right? It means that it exists. The substance exists. It's just not yet anything, right? It's not even a third, it's not even tefua. But you could argue, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't exist altogether. You could try to argue that. But certainly we don't see evidence for that yet, right? So far, just saying whereas before a third, and it's not chashev, and it's not, but there is an it. There is an it, right? So
yeah.
Let's go further. So Gemara says like this, I'm jumping a little bit. Kaman azla. Okay, it just goes into what Aga means. Kaman azla, hadetanya. So here's a braisa. Omer lechaveru im yalda. Okay, so the Mishnah says that if you say to your friend that if your wife has a girl, a baby girl, then she'll be mikudeshes to me. Okay, I'm giving you money now to marry your baby girl the second she's when she's born. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Amar Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina says on that Mishnah, lo shalol she'inishtem uberas. Okay, avalishim uberas, Rav Kayamin. He says, that's only talking about, that doesn't work if the woman wasn't pregnant. But if she was pregnant at that time, then it will work. Right? Then it will work.
The Mishnah itself doesn't say.
The Mishnah doesn't say that, but that's what Rav Chanina says, that if she's pregnant, then it will work. Okay? So it's saying is, that sounds, but she's not yet really for Kedushin, right? But it sounds in the ballpark of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right? Because he's saying is, you don't really need it to be a Baba Olam yet. Right? So it says, come on, Ike Rabba, Bishahuka Ubra. Either you can say it's like Rabba, and Rabba holds that it works lo ba olam when it's already chashav. So he says, then we'll be talking about where it's she's pregnant, then she's Huka Ubra, or it's already noticeable that she is pregnant. So then it's already like chashav, then the Vlad is already like chashav, even though it's not yet born, but it's like chashav, it's already Huka, it's already noticeable. He says, Ike Rav Yosef, or like Rav Yosef who holds, even by Agam, where it's non chashav, Afal Bishlo Huka Ubra. Even when it's not Ukarubra, it would work once she's pregnant, even if it's not noticeable. Right? Rashi. So Rashi's interesting here. This is what I was reading. Kaman Azla. Adir Bichanina Kai. Okay, this is according to Rabbi Chanina. Keman parasher b'chanina mas nisan, the im ishtum uberas, if the shabbat pregnant, davar kayamen. Alma, davar shaloba klal le'olam, hu dein makna. Avobah miktsasa makna. That's what Rabbi Chanina is saying, is that Chanina's point is saying is she's pregnant, it means the only time is shaloba le'olam doesn't work if she's not at all in the olam. She's mamish not even pregnant. But if it's partially baba olam, then it will work. Who's the author of that, right? No, that's what I'm saying. Is that that's if it's totally not existent, then no one's going to say that's good, right? If she's totally not even pregnant, that doesn't work. But he's saying is that if it's partially baba olam, then it does work. So who's that? Come on, ikir rabba sfir leiduk mel rabba zeben yaakov v'shachas. It's only v'chashiv hachov v'meras nam mishukar ubra. Gudar rabba zeben yaakov. That's talking about where she's already noticeable. V'kav yosi sfir leidu afil v'agam amar rabba zeben yaakov afil lo hukar. Amar Rabbi Chanina Mekadash, that's the Divrei Rabbi Zeben Yaakov. Right? So then, if you say that it's going to work even by, you know, even by Agam, where it's not Chashiv, then when she's pregnant, even if she's not noticeable. Okay, so that's that for now. I mean, the Gemara is going to have another way to learn the Machlokas, but for now, this is good. So again, so the main thing here, just to summarize, so you have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is like away from what we've been learning so far. He holds that definitely you don't need the really this full Baba Olam. Okay, we previously learned if it's not a Shlesh, then it's not a Baba Olam. It's not even Tvoya, so therefore you simply can't take off Shuma on it. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying not so fast. As long as it's partially a Baba Olam, you don't need it really to be fully ba'olam. Partial ba'olam is also okay. So the question is, machlokas Rabbi Reza, what does that mean? Okay, when is he saying that it could even be less than a shlesh? So Rabbi says it's talking about something which is chashiv already, less than a shlesh. Okay, it just it's already developed, it's already chashiv, it's already nicker. You could feed it to your animal, but it's not your shlesh. And then Rabbi Reza is saying that works. You can do it to him on that. That's enough. But if it's not chashav, then forget about it. Or for instance, if the woman, if the ubar, is noticeable, okay, she's pregnant, she's basically, you know, let's say she's 9 months pregnant, let's say, whatever. I don't know, it's a question of what noticeable means. But she's basically ready. So then it's already ba'olam partially. That's enough. Or that's the Rabbi Yosef learns. That's when Rabbi Lezman, that's Rabba. Rabba's, and that's when Rabbi Lezman Yaakov is extending it beyond the shlesh, beyond ba'olam. Whereas Rabbi Yosef learns even further. That even if it's not chashuv, as long as it exists, even if it's less than 1/3 and it's not chashuv, it's agam, or it's not even hukar ubra yet, still the thing works. You can do it. Okay, so machlokas again. What is Shitas Rabbi Elazar? Two ways to learn what Rabbi Yaakov is doing is extending. Okay, these are the facts. So one other thing. I mean, I don't want to read through the whole Gemara's here, but later on the bottom of the page, the Gemara says. There's a list of guys. The Bais says a list of shitas who hold that davar shaloba le'olam you could be makna, and one of them is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rebbe and Rebbe Meir all hold you could be makna davar shaloba le'olam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is our Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rashi explains there's the bottom Rashi on the Amud shaloba le'olam bia gemura ki hacha delo via shlesh. It means that when you say that you can be makna davar shaloba le'olam, it means something which is not fully above olam yet. Like here, it didn't bring a shlesh. But it doesn't mean low ba'olam altogether. It means partial. It's not fully ba'olam. And that's what Elazar ben Yaakov was saying. If it's not fully ba'olam, you can still do it. Doesn't have a shem tovo yet. So which way is easier, Rabba or Rabbi Yosef? Right, Rabbi Yosef is easier. Well, so why is that easier? Okay, so in a certain sense, it's simple. It just is there. So I mean, it's in a certain sense simple because it's not complex. But there is a difficulty with it. Okay, so in a certain sense, conceptually, it's much further from what we're saying because you're saying it's totally not ba'olam. It's mamish. The thing is even tefuah. It's not chashiv. It's almost nothing. So I mean, it's a far stretch from what we've been learning. How does that work? It's not even ba'olam, or it's not anything. At least within Rabba, it's almost ba'olam, it's kind of ba'olam, it's partially ba'olam, you know. So Rabba's a little tricky because, and this I think is bothering you, is what does that mean? Manushak, either it's ba'olam, it's not ba'olam. So if you hold the Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, he's just saying is, look.
Right, so okay, so just to clarify, so shachas practically means where it's the crop grows enough to be able to feed to animals. So it's not fully developed for man to eat, but it's enough to eat for animals, very chash of a nicker. And agam is where it's not even that. Just enough to bend over the whatever, the wind blows it over, but it's not really, it can't be used for anything. So it's different stages in development of let's say, wheat.
So what do we want? What's a good idea to go to look into this? I guess we're on Rosh Hashanah of Rava now, right? This is where we're focused on here. So what do you think we should think about here in order to help us to understand here? What's what's the deal? Why is it that when it reaches Vaishachas it works? I'm just saying maybe it would be good to clarify a little bit what the deal here is about Shlesh. What's the idea of Shachas and what's the idea of Shlesh? Like, what exactly is lacking? Because if you're telling me it is, like, it sounds almost like I'm sick. One of these things, it's not Tfua. There's a Kasev, it's not Tfua until Shlesh. But beforehand, you see it's Minker and it's Chashev and you can feed it to animals. So, like, sounds pretty good, right? But, so what's the din of Shlesh? Like, what's the difference between something before Shlesh and after Shlesh? If it's already Shachas and it's already usable, so what exactly define what these stages are? Because that's the question, is does it work when it's only Shachas or you need it to be Shlesh? So we should just have at least a definition of what exactly happens here. You know, clarify what these different identities are. Right. So it seemed that at the very least, I mean, essentially, it would seem that once it's already Shachas, it already has the essential quality of wheat, which is that it's like a food. And it is a food. It's right for Bema, and it's Chashev, and it's Nicker. But there's a Gzeres HaKasev that it doesn't have a Shem Tvua until it reaches a certain shear in its development. Okay, even though it's not enough just that it's a food. But apparently, you need a certain shear. That's the idea of a shlesh. It's a shear. That there's a shear, and the Gzeres HaKasev is that this is the shear at which it's developed enough that it gets a Shem Tvua. For whatever reason, maybe because then it becomes right for Michael Adam. Ariel mentioned the Rashi and Sanhedrin, which says then it's really a plant. But whatever, I mean, whatever the details are, but it's because there's a kasa, that's a shlesh, that's a limud. So what it means is that even though it has the underlying property of tefua, it does have the underlying characteristic of tefua, it's already out, that's what Rashi's saying, it's chashu, it's nikkur, it's ready to eat, you can feed your animal, but it's like, it's lacking in the shear, such that it acquires a chalash and tefua. You need a limud. It's not a misfar. You'd never say that you need shlesh to be tefua. If you don't have a limud, you'd say, of course, it's tefua beforehand. It's produce. You feed it to your animals, right? It's food. But the thing is, but there's a limud. It's v'asas tefua that until that point it doesn't have a shem tefua. So the halacha kalashim tefua isn't dependent upon like just a function of being able to feed the animal, but it's based on a halachic shear. There's a shear of shlesh, and short of that shear, it doesn't have a halachic kalos of tefua, and the halachos of tefua don't apply to it. So the shear is determined by the shame tefua is determined based upon a shear. You might have not said that. If not for limud, you wouldn't have said that. You'd say it's like a functional identity. But that's what's teaching you, is that there's a certain shear in that function or in the development for it to be recognized halachically as tefua. Does that mean shame tefua? Right? So in fact, it's almost like it's open Rashi. He says the tefua shelo hivya shlish lav tefua hi. So isn't that a contradiction? Tvua shelo hivya shlesh lav tvua. So the monoshel is that tvua is not tvua. Right? I mean, that's the contradiction. Right? So it means it is tvua. Of course it's tvua. Practically, you'd call it tvua. Any farmer would call it tvua. But a tvua shelo hivya shlesh, that which is practically tvua, but it doesn't yet have the shear of shlesh, is not halachically a shem tvua. So it means tvua shelo hivya shlesh lav tvua. How can you say it's tvua is not tvua? It means practically, of course, it's tefua. It has the underlying property of tefua, but if it's lacking the quantity, it doesn't have the halachashiv, the halachic shame, the shear. It's lacking the shear such that it has the halachic shame of tefua. So it's lav tefua means halachically it doesn't have shame tefua. But of course, practically, the thing is the right object. It's tefua, it's produce, it's food. It's not just a plant. It's food. I guess that's what it is. Before that, when it's agam, it's just a plant basically. Well, you can't do anything. It's just something growing. It's vegetation. But once it becomes ready to eat by an animal, it's now ready, it's sweet. Now, it may not be good wheat, it's poor wheat at that point, but it becomes wheat. Once it reaches, once it becomes food, then it becomes wheat. It just lacks in shear. When it comes a third, that's a shear, and then it gets halacha kalashim tefua. Short of that, it's just wheat. It's a basic underlying entity, but it's lacking in shear. So there's just an hour to go from here. But I'm just saying, I think like if we're talking about at what point does it get a shame truma, or at what point could he do this thing, we have to have a definition about what these stages are. I mean, and then we could talk about it as well, you know what I mean? So, and again, I don't know if it's important so much to say why this is the shear. What properties it gains at that point. Maybe like Ariel's saying, because of the growth, because that's when it could plant, maybe because it's ready for a man to eat, whatever it is, because it was a kasuv, a shlesh, it's a shear. It's only a shear, so even though it's already edible and it's really whatever, it's a shear of shlesh. And then it has a chalashim tefuah. Okay, so now what? So now Rabba is saying, so now maybe we're ready to get Rabba. So the facts are Rabba saying that even though it's lo bava olam, Rabba's interpreting Rabba's Yaakov, even though it's lo bava olam, you could still do to a chum on it. But it has to be already shachas. It has to already be shachas. Okay, so why? Exactly. Like Shem is saying that. So it's very good now, is that Rav Ozman Yaakov is not saying you could just do Chuma on stuff which isn't Tefuah. He's not saying you need to do Chuma on plants, do Chuma on vegetation. He says, of course, it has to be Chuma. But he's saying is that it doesn't have to have the Halachic Chal Hashem Chuma. The Shior, so Tefuah. Halachic Chal Hashem Tefuah. The Shior Tefuah. It's enough for it to be, for Chuma to be Shaykh on it, it has to be the proper underlying object to which Chuma applies. But even if it's lacking the full halachic realization, even if it's like lacking in shiur, but if it's the right object, it's just lacking in the halachic culmination, the halachic realization, because it's lacking in the quantity such that halacha recognizes it and stamps it with the halashim tefuah, it's still shaykh to do my shum on it. It is baba olam. The object is a baba olam. It's really tefuah in the world. The farmer's going to say it's tefuah. So it's the right object. It's just lacking the full realization of its kal hashem. It says that's fine. Lobo, you could be makir davar shel baba olam for the shame, for the maisa to be shaykh to it. It doesn't have to be baba olam halachically. It doesn't have to realize its halachic kal hashem. It's enough if it's in the underlying reality of the identity. It has its identity. And it doesn't need for the process of chuma to be shaykh to it, the ma'aseh chuma to be shaykh to it. It's as long as it has the right object. It's just a lacking shira. It's lacking realization, halachically, but it's the underlying essence is proper. So that's what he's saying. That's what the Rebbe loves, the Rebbe Yaakov's extension. He's saying Rosemary is not so far off from the chacham. He's agreeing you can't just do a chuma on something that has nothing to do with it. It's not tefuah altogether. It's not food. I mean, tefuah is chumas for foods, right? That's the whole idea. It's not just on plants or something, you know. So it has to be food. It has to be the right object. It just, you don't need the halachic kal hashem for it to be a reality, and that's like a mahokas. In order for it to be, to do chuma, it definitely has to be tefuah. But is it enough for it to be the underlying object of tefuah, underlying shem tefuah, or it has to really be the halachic kal hashem tefuah? To be the, you know, the shem tefuah halachically, which is defined based upon a shir. Rav is not claiming that the chalos shem will be chal then. It's only chal later. I mean, it's dependent upon, you need it to come about. Obviously, it has to become a shlish for it to be defined as truma. But he's just saying is that in order for the maisa, to be shaykh to it, right? That's the whole framework here. In order for the maisa to be shaykh to it, it's enough that it's already the proper object and it's just lacking in shear. Since it's the right object, the right essence, and now it just hasn't realized its shiur, and thereby hasn't reached the halacha kal hashem tefuah, it's enough of a reality such that the shame of the maisa truma kafrasha could be related to it. If it's essentially, it's not essentially lacking. It's just an object. It's not essentially lacking. You could halachically, you could say it is. It's not tefuah, but in terms of the underlying essence, it's essentially the right essence. It's just lacking in the realization to get the halach chal hashem. So that's enough for you to say that it's shayach to do this out of the action to it. Okay. Whereas the Tanakhama learns no, that it has to really be the right halachic essence. Tefuah. Now it could be lacking in a condition. That's fine. But the shame, the halach chal hashem can't be missing. Right. The halach chal hashem can't be missing. Whereas, again, according to those who are pushing one step further, the halach kal hashem could be missing if it has the underlying essence. Okay, that's the thing. Halach can't deny the fact that it is tefuah in the world. It's tefuah. I mean, it doesn't recognize, it doesn't give it a kal hashem shumah, such that a halacha that demands a kal hashem tefuah, it doesn't give it a shem tefuah that it's defined as tefuah. It's not. It's not defined as tefuah. But here, the nature of the thing is just that the maisa is shayach to the thing. So you can't deny that it is tefuah in the world, it's just that it doesn't have a label, halach chal hashem tefuah. It's kind of like, it reminds me of like an achila. Like achila is a shira. So they say, it's not an achila pachas mekazayas. But I mean, certain areas of halacha, you say achila, it is achila. I mean, it's eating. It's just that it's there's a shear for it to be a halachic din achila. But it's like a maisa achila, like you see from the chatzi shear, you can torah kaaser. And I mean, it is the underlying idea of achila. Just that it needs a shear for it to have a din achila. The shear definitely gives it a din achila, but it is a maisa achila. It is the action of eating. You can't say it's like a totally different thing. You might as well be walking. Well, it's eating. It's just that it needs a shear for it to be machsh to machsh of it, to be machsh of it as a din achila, like a surah achila to be chal on it or whatever. But it's a maisa achila in certain areas of halacha. It goes just by the maisa achila. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yosef. That's Rava. So that's Rabbi Yosef. Like shlish has to be a shear. So what's shlish? Exactly a third. And I mean, I don't know how you measure it all together, but I mean it's a third. Apparently there's a way to measure it, but when you say that moment it becomes whatever function, I mean, it's a shear. I mean, that's a smacks of a shear. I mean, that's those types of things. It's a shear. It's not a function. It's a shear. It's a halachic shear. You know, the function should measure by the function. Don't measure by a sort of like it's a quantity of a third. It's the idea. It's a shear. That's where it's a shear development that it has a chal shein tefuah. So maybe like this. Maybe like this is that. That our premise until now was that how is it? The question is how is the ma'isa defined as a ma'isa afrasha or ma'isa kedushin, right? So until now we said that it's defined as such through the chafta being a barhachi or basachi of the shame truma or the same shame kedushin, right? In order for it to be a ma'isa afrasha, it has to be a shayach. The chafta has to be shayach to truma. In order to be ma'isa kedushin, the isha has to be shayach to mikdashas, to the shem of mikdashas, right? So the ma'isa is defined by the chafza's relationship to this process. But Rav Yosef is interpreting that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing on that premise. He says that the ma'isa could be defined as a ma'isa hafrasha through the gavra, through the das of the gavra. You have this object and you know that it's gonna be tevua, and you're doing a maisa, it's a maisa of Russia now because that's what you're doing. You're being mafresh, this l'shem truma, l'shem asad. So the chafza isn't a barach of truma, who cares? He says that the das of the gavra in his hafrasha is sufficient to define it as a maisa, as a maisa of Russia. It's not truma yet, fine, it'll be truma in the future. Whereas the others learn that in order for the Maisa to be rendered a Maisa of Rasha, it's not enough just that he has Das for that. But the Chaf, there has to be a reality in the Rasha insofar as the Chaf is concerned. It can't just be through his Das, that's what he's trying to do. But there has to be some realization, some sense, a little, even if not, it's not Shua yet, but has to partake of the chutz, has to partake of the framework of the condition. But Rav Yosef says no. The gavra defines it as a ma'isa truma. Why is it ma'isa afrasha? Because the gavra is defining as such. But there's no chal hashem. There'll be a chal hashem. Obviously, there's never gonna be a chal hashem. You can't just define anything as ma'isa afrasha. There's no shaitas to it. But it will be. It will have a chalos. So right now you're doing ma'isa afrasha, and the chalos will be realized later. How is it defined as a ma'isa afrasha? What are you doing? It's just it's vegetation. You're doing ma'isa. What sense is there how could it be a afrasha? Because the gavra is that's what he's doing. He's setting up something which in the future will be realized. It's in the future, but insofar as the gavra is concerned, that's what he's doing. He's trying to set it up for the future. So the gavra can define it as a ma'isa afrasha. Whereas the premise which we've been having until now is that a ma'isa afrasha or a ma'isa kedushin can have a character unless the chafza is a baba olam, unless the chafza is shayach to this identity, which it's not. So I think what I'm adding, what you were saying,
yeah,
is that see, it definitely seems like what Rav Yosef is saying is no, it doesn't have to be tefillah. All it has to do is exist, right? But it's just not satisfying because this whole time we've been saying it does have to be tefillah for some reason apparently. So now what? He just says no, it doesn't have to be. So we have to get it out. Well, why were we saying that it had to be tefillah? And how is Rav Yosef supplanting that? So why were we saying it? Is because we said how is it defined as a ma'isa truma, ma'isa afrasha, if not for the fact that the chafza is shayach to truma? That's what we've been saying. So it must be Rav Yosef holds that it's defined as a Maisa Afrasha through some alternate method. Because the Chafetz is nothing. Just the Agam. It's almost nothing. It's just a plant. So it must be that he's saying that it's defined as such through the Gavra. Through the Gavra's Afrasha. You know what I mean? So as opposed to just saying, he says, no, you don't need it. It just has to exist. You know, you have to figure out what's been the concept all along, and how is Rav Yosef sidestepping that concept, and where exactly is he differing? You know what I mean? Then already you see a machlokas, as opposed to just saying, no, he just says it's enough for it to exist. You know what I mean? So then you're right, that's what he holds enough for it to exist, but where's the machlokas? Then you have to get down to the halachic reason that we've been, you know, saying it all along. Follow me?
Yeah. I see what you're doing.
If it doesn't exist, then he can't even relate to it. What's he doing? He's being mafresh truma what? There's no object. So obviously it has to be an object. Well, as long as it's an object. So he's being mafresh as object. How is it truma? The object has nothing to do with truma. Well, he's setting it aside to be truma. And with the Yosef Asif, so it has to exist. It's us. But it's not, but, you know, it doesn't exist. It doesn't fully exist. But it's the object has to be there for you to be able to do a maisa to. Otherwise, there's nothing to do a maisa to. We'll see you next time. Further next time, hopefully we'll go further with the Gemara, because there's another way. Zinika Damri of what the Machlokas is, that everyone agrees it has to be Shachas. The question is if it's Shachas, which is omed to die, if you don't water it, something like that. The question is that enough? Mm-hmm. The Machlokas, Rabban Rav Yosef, there's another way to minimize the Machlokas. This is a huge Machlokas, Rabban Rav Yosef. I mean, this is positing Rav Yosef. This way of learning is positing Rav Yosef's relearning of Lezman Yaakov is like a world apart. I mean, Rabba is learning the Machlokas very close together. Halach Chalashem Tavu or just Tavu. Rabbi Yosef is learning, woo, it's a totally different thing. You know, whereas this next Ikadamri is minimizing the Machlokas. That everyone agrees that, of course, Agam is not going to work. It has to be Shachas. But it's more of a prat within that. It's a prat within that. Maybe I want to do this. There's another issue about altogether. There is a sheet that holds that you could be knocking on something which is low ball all them altogether. You could do a kinyan, let's say, on fruits, which are totally not bala, which are gonna emerge. So it's a Gemara in Vamitziah. But maybe we'll do that also. The Ran brings it up. The Ran says that there are two different kinds of bala. Because that's what this, like we've been pointing out, these are things which are kind of bala. Not fully bala, but at least there's something here. But the Ran says, but there's a different machlokas about whether you be makadavash of bala, where the thing mamish doesn't exist. And he says there are two different sagas. But Tosa somehow, I don't know how, but Tosa somehow equates the two, or treats them as if they're the same thing. But maybe we'll just do the Ran. I happen to do that Gemara. It's in a mafka. So we'll see how things go here. Okay, so I think at least for tomorrow, let's try to do further than Gemara here. Okay, the next way to learn. Tomorrow should be fine, right? I think so. Maybe we should also consider the baby case. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we didn't play through it in the case of the Uber.
Oh, no,
shy of considering exactly how that plays out.